Hello and welcome to CKC Presents Bangkok Radio Swayze, the show that forgot for a little while that it was CKC Presents, but more importantly forgot that it was about movies. We made you a promise, the listener, and we forgot. And today we're talking about a film called Bondman.
Hey, man.
It's about real game Bondman.
Yeah, man,
with the jamba. No, it's not. It's actually, for some reason, we're doing a film from 2014. So we're doing a
what?
Film.
2014.
Oh. Who knows what year it is today?
Today, 2015.
20 hyphy, bruh. But before we start this, podcast, I want to do something. Sorry, that's disgusting. Yeah. The last film that we did a review of was, I think, I want to say Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious 7.
And then what I want to say about that film is, the whole way through that podcast, I was saying, this is one of the best films I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then everyone who listened to that podcast came back to me and was like, it sounded terrible. You guys made it sound... And I was like, I want to feel that... I don't honestly understand what these
mean?
People were listening to.
Did they mean
to.
Like we sounded sarcastic? Or?
They thought we were being sarcastic. Okay. When we kept saying... I guess because we said it over and over again, this is the greatest film of all time. It could only sound sarcastic.
Yeah.
But now we are literally talking about probably the greatest film of 2014. We're talking about Birdman, not Bondman. Bond is when you take drugs and you're high on drugs. For all our non-Jamaican listeners.
Racial.
But what's the racial about it? They just know.
They just know.
It's their slang.
It's their slang.
It's their slang.
All right. I was told... by a very dear listener who had to stop listening because our show became too offensive.
Okay.
And they were like, can you please make it less offensive so I can listen to it again? And I said to them, yes, listen to the new episode because we're getting back to our roots where we don't swear, we don't get racist, and I'm already breaking those rules. All right, so Birdman.
Wait, who are we?
Oh, yeah. I'm Ben.
I'm Hassan.
That's Hassan.
Yeah.
I'm Ben.
And that's Ben.
I'm Eamon.
Eamon. And a very special hello to Eamon Hassan.
Hello.
Because they are both atheists, I think, and today is Eid.
Yeah, thank you, because I'm celebrating just watching people break their fast. Yeah.
I'm celebrating Friday.
I just don't celebrate, generally. I just don't.
What about when you have a pot of celebrations?
No, I don't.
Do you know they took the galaxy truffle out of celebrations?
Why?
8 years ago.
Are you serious?
How long are you like, why?
Eight years ago today.
On Eid.
On the last Eid that fell on this day. Like, it was like...
the galaxy was removed.
And it was the best... No, was it the galaxy... It's one of them.
Wait, I think you're talking about the Malteser one. The one that's super delicious.
So banging.
They put the Malteser teaser, bro.
The Malteser.
It's an easer, bro.
The Malteser.
What they could have done is they should have just put a Malteser in those little packets because they would fit.
Yeah. Just one singular malt.
It was the same.
Is that one malt?
Yeah,
malt.
Just a malt.
Ooh, have you guys ever drank super malt?
Yeah.
Only people from West Africa like super malt.
It's a bit dirty.
What the hell is going on with that disgusting drink? The people from West Africa love it.
It tastes like, kind of like
generalizing again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming back to our roots.
But why do they love it?
I don't know. It gives them. Oh God, I can't think of anything that's not racist.
Yeah.
Can't. Come back with anything funny. It's not racist.
I hate super malt. It's disgusting. Have you drunk super malt?
Yeah.
It's disgusting, right?
It's
dirty. Eamon, what do you think?
I wouldn't say it's dirty or disgusting. Yeah. I don't like the taste of it. Yeah. I could drink it, given the circumstances. I see why people drink it. Some people might not drink it after football, things like that. Just to get a boost and stuff. But
does super malt give you a little boost?
No, it's because it's got loads of like vitamins, like more than you would need in your day.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely an acquired taste, though.
Yeah, it's like, definitely
sort of a West African taste.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah,
yeah.
In a sort of racial kind.
Sort of racist.
Yeah.
No, but there are white people in Kenya.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's So this is for our white fans here from Kenya. Is Kenya even in West Africa?
No,
it's Central Africa, isn't it? Is it East?
Is it East?
Asia,
right?
Oh, God. No,
South America.
You know why I like Kenya? Because it sounds like Benya. And every time I'm walking down the street and I feel like down on myself, I'm like, Ben, yeah! So I get a little bit excited about that.
That must be a very little bit of excitement. How long is that? Long? Is that 1 second of excitement? Alright, that was a little boost.
Anyway, back to killing myself. Okay, so we're talking about Birdman. And the reason I love this film is because it sounds like Ben Man.
This is an ego thing. Going back to the roots here.
We gotta cut those last 10 seconds.
We should do a
laughing
whole thing.
At our own jokes. How
we should do a whole thing where we just, instead of doing the normal podcast with words, they're all replaced with just the word Ben.
Ben.
It's like Ben. 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 Whoa, Ben.
Excuse me.
Ben, okay. Please explain why you love Ben Man.
So Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, is the whole name of the film.
Yeah.
Often shortened to Birdman, if you read the Wikipedia page, which I did. Well, the first half of.
didn't even complete the fake research.
The smallest bit of research. So Birdman is a film about an actor who's a has-been, a washed-up guy, who's sunk all his money into creating a play based on a Raymond Carver book called What We Talk About When We Talk About Love, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And it's very famously made in what looks like one shot throughout, until the end where
I think it cuts three times in the whole film.
It cuts right in the beginning after the comment, and then it cuts at the end when you have like
the cuts in the middle at his apartment as well, when he looks up and it changes to from day to night.
Yeah, but that's still kind of like one shot. Yeah,
no, it's one shot, but it does. I'll tell you where.
No, it's
cuts.
One shot, but as in the entire film is like a transition of scenes, but seamlessly. But then they have 3 points in the film.
Yeah, they have
where they
transitions
have to cut between transitions.
They
so they
do have
transitions,
but they don't really cut.
It's not really a
one
cut.
Cut.
Yeah, it's not a cut.
There is one cut where it closes, it zooms, and like one noticeable thing, and the reason I noticed it, this is really getting off topic already, the reason I noticed it, there's a scene where he's just walked naked, and obviously if you haven't seen the film, there are major spoilers coming up.
Yeah.
But if you're one of the listeners to the show, then you probably have seen the film.
Welcome.
But there's a scene where he's walking naked through Times Square, because he just got locked out of the theatre, and it goes viral, and then his daughter, Emma Stone, shows him the video of it, and it zooms into the video, and then it sort of zooms out, and it's been on a TV screen, and it's like, what looks like a Rosario Dawson talking about it, and then it cuts to him at the bar. And the only reason I noticed that was because I was sat there watching the film, and then this is right as he starts talking to the critic, and he starts yelling at her about being like a bitch.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, because he really gives it to her. Up the bum. And then I was sat there watching it, and I was like, wait a second, how did he get here? And it took me out of the film for a second, because I was like, because usually in films, when you're like, how did you get here? They were just like, oh, we just cut here, and that's what happens. But in this film, I'm like, I've been following him go everywhere, so how did we get here? Mm-hmm. So that was, to me, pretty much the only jarring part of the film.
Yeah, I noticed that straight away. When they zoomed into like the little phone bit, I was like, okay, they're going to do like the classic thing of zooming out, being somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, that's... Consciously, I was like, this is fucking up the continuous
shot.
But
didn't he get there with Edward Norton? They walked in together.
No, there are two scenes where he's in the bar. That's
okay.
Yeah. But going back to what you were saying, I'm sure in the film, because it was so perfectly done, they must have like properly cut it.
I would
many times
really like to
like
say
many.
No,
this
I mean
film,
three.
I know what you're saying.
Three clearly noticeable.
Yeah.
Three clearly noticeable bits, like where it's just like the transition was from day to night. Do you know what I mean? They wanted to show that. Okay, now we're going into a night scene. Like that's what I meant. Not. There was definitely more like seamless transitions, but those were like three bait ones that were like okay. That's where they chopped it.
They sort of, you can see that they're sort of ending, whenever they end
like an end
act,
chapter,
whenever they end an act, they sort of zoom into the sky, yeah, and then it, like, they go from night to day.
Yeah.
I really would like to point out that this film is fucking really well shot. Yeah, it is amazing.
Amazing.
It was meticulously rehearsed. They rehearsed for weeks up until the filming of this, and it was, interestingly enough, based on a play, it's the scheduling for filming is probably actually more like a play. Because it was really, really well rehearsed.
Yeah, they were doing something ridiculous, like memorizing 15 pages of lines just before a scene, and it was just like, okay.
That's... Well, they had been doing that. Yeah, they weren't just like, oh god, what's my line? But I looked up the director, and the only film that he'd made that I'd heard of was Babel. Do you remember that film, Babel?
Yeah, Babel.
I haven't seen it though.
I haven't seen it. That's the only film that he had made before this one that I had heard of. He'd made more like sort of Spanish films. And if you guys remember, Sean Penn put his foot in it by being racist when he won the Oscar. Do you remember that?
No.
When he was like, who gave this guy a green card?
Oh my God.
And everyone was like, that's racist.
Was he friends with him?
Yeah, he was friends with him. Well, he said he was friends with him just before he said,
I'm friends with this guy.
Who gave this spick a green card?
But he's a beaner.
This wetback beaner fucker. No, he didn't say any of those. None of those things. He just said the first one.
Don't
people
sue.
People. Sean Penn gets so mad. What we're gonna do is tweet this to Sean Penn so he can get mad about something today. Guy gets mad. He got so mad that he beat Madonna.
Well, maybe it's just that sort of Napoleon complex.
What's that?
One man clapping for Sean Penn. One man clapping.
Right, it's so real. It is real. Oh man. He did a Chris Brown on
Madonna's
face. He invented the Chris Brown.
So Chris Brown did a Sean Penn is what you're saying.
Chris Brown did a Sean Penn. Sean Penn did a Sean Penn.
Did himself.
In just, the bottom.
And he.
You were just thinking about.
All right, so Hazan, what did you think of the film? Did you like the film?
I loved it. I've put my notes in my pocket.
That's very cool. Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll seamlessly transition here in one shot. To Aaron, what did you think of the film?
Hello, I'll just try to pull my notes out from my
book. I just like to say that I really like the film.
I thought the film was really good. I obviously, the cinematography was amazing. That was like one of the biggest things.
Hassan knows who did the cinematography, actually. Hassan, who did the cinematography?
I did it.
Oh, yeah? In your spare time?
So something you don't know, Eamon, is that I got Hassan before we started recording this to research... you know how it's all done in one shot.
Oh yeah,
I was like, that's fascinating, I wonder how they did that. So I got Hassan to go and figure that out. Hassan,
how did you
figure out how it was all done in one shot?
Look, because I did it.
Can you explain to us?
That makes it so much easier.
Basically, buy this like big thing that takes film. It's called a camera.
Sorry, are you
Cause it's called a camera.
I'm sorry, are you on drugs or?
And basically,
sorry, cool. Hassan, I gave you a week to research this. Are you saying that you're making me look like an asshole?
Ben, I did it.
Okay, you did it.
I did it.
You did the research?
I did the film, Ben.
You did the film. Special guest star, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got...
Bangkok Radio Swayze presents the cinematographer for Birdman, or the Virtue of Ignorance, Hassan Alkoholi.
Thank you very much. I like to...
So how'd you do it?
How do you do it without actually getting your name on the credits? How did you manage to do that?
I was stipulated. I was very stern with this. I said, look, guys, I've got a career. I've got a career in the porn industry that I'm really trying to, you know, nurture at the moment.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, look, if I get my name connected to anything that is at all artistic, then it could ruin me.
At this point, was security ushering you out, or were you still in the? You were still in the building.
I was operating a camera.
What's your direction? What's your direction name?
I was also camera operator. Chief camera operator.
CM.
I was a cheesem.
Cheesem.
You were cheesem.
I was a cheesem. And I was the
sort of cheese string.
I was a floor manager and assistant manager at McDonald's.
What's your porn director name?
I'm not a director, no.
Cinematographer.
I
DOP,
star
what's
in
your
porn?
Yo, you star in porn.
But I use my real name.
Hassan Alkoholi.
Yeah. It's unique. Because usually there's like.
It is unique.
There's like Ben Todger or
Ben
like,
Todger.
You know, Strong Dave or something. I don't know. I don't know
what kind of porn
I don't know
you
what
watch.
Names they have. But they were like,
Strong Dave's a name.
But I came up to my agent and I was like, look, I've been thinking of a few names. Because like, I usually get it done like pretty quickly. I was like, Flash, Flashman, Jizzman.
Flash Jizzman.
And they were like, Flash Jizzman. Like Flash Jizzman. And they were like, that's
Flash
not working
Flood.
It.
You could be Flash Flood.
I was like, Flaccid Nightmare. They were like, look, that's not going
to... Welcome to your nightmare. That's not the kind of porn you're watching, is it, really?
And
then, I come into your dreams.
And they were like, what's your name? And they were, I was like, Hassan El Kholi. And it was like, wow, that really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah,
especially
yeah, yeah.
in porn.
Yeah.
So I rolled with it.
Porn is a notoriously racist industry. So
I had to whiten up a little bit.
Yeah? Is that what you
That's
did?
What the bleach is all about.
That's why you got a bleached asshole. You got a bleached asshole?
Done already, bro.
Fantastic.
Done already. For those back shots.
Yeah.
I want
the
shots from behind. You know what I'm saying?
All,
when they,
all kinds
they
of shots.
They
kind of
do the ones where, like...
Where it's just the ball sort of smacking
yeah,
the leg.
Need
yeah,
the bleach asshole,
you need
bro.
The bleached asshole.
You need the bleached asshole.
Brilliant.
What... Your original to your
so
original
so
question.
Man.
So your original
Alrighty.
Question.
So how did you make it all in one shot? How was that?
I'm interested in how you got from the porn industry to being the cinematographer for Birdman is what I want to know. It's just
I was
how did you even do
on,
that?
I was doing actually the director.
Sorry, wait 1 second. So if you were the DOP for Birdman, you must know the director pretty well.
Rodriguez Riggs.
Yeah, what was his name again?
Rodriguez Riggs.
Sorry,
I can almost hear what
sorry, just say that a bit louder so the microphone picks up.
The thing is, I knew him from his porn name.
Yeah. Oh, so he was in porn.
This is the thing. We met on set on a porno, but I can't really say his porno name.
Oh, you can't?
Because the thing is, it's a bit like, I'm proud of what I do.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm proud. Even in gay porn, I'm proud of that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're
it is. It is. I think more prestigious to be in gay and straight porn and transgender porn than to be a cinematographer. I can't even say it.
Cinematographer.
I don't.
You
care.
Can't say your profession.
I don't even
you can't
care.
Say your job.
You don't take it seriously.
I don't even care about it.
Yeah.
Cinema tea is what
it's sort of like you it's sort of like those assholes you see in documentaries and they're always like, how did you get into this industry that millions of people would kill their mum to be in? And they're always like, well, I just sort of fell into it by accident, really. I was smoking drugs in an alleyway one day and, you know, John Lennon came up to me and he was like, do you want to record our new album? And I was like, yeah, it sounds brilliant actually. And that's sort of the jump off of my career. I was pretty good at it.
Well, that's similar to what I was doing.
That's what you did.
I was shooting
yeah?
up heroin.
You
in
shoot, an and they're like, "You can take all that heroin in one shot." Do you think you can film a film in one shot?
Yes.
I was like, "Buddy, just give me that big machine that you call the
I'm thinking
bro.
Of my next chance. That's my chance.
All
right, Hassan El Kholi.
So the way Hassan El Kholi did this was, I went because I know I operate the cameras,
yeah,
okay.
but I don't. Operating like by hand, I just say to someone on.
Oh, I see what okay.
I say. I don't even
yes.
say record.
I'm starting to
I don't
get
even
now
say,
I get
but I don't.
Mean.
I go really close up to the ear and I
yeah.
go.
And you just kind of whisper it.
Put that shit on right now.
Okay.
And then.
Okay.
And then me.
Okay.
But I like. I kind of like. Do a little like. That from the ear. And then they switch it on. And I. They switched it on all the cameras. Because. Wait, no, there was one camera. I'm trying to remember now. There
right.
was one camera.
It was 2014.
Oh, the whole film was one camera.
And I said, turn it on.
Yeah.
And then they turned it on and he just kept going.
Mm-hmm. And you won the Oscar for this.
Basically, it took about 7,000 shots.
Yeah.
Mm.
There was one time, it was about the 50th. It was about the, no, 7,000 takes, sorry.
7,000
It was about, the, I think it was like the 280th
mm-hmm.
take. 200th?
Yeah, probably.
280th.
No,
280th.
No,
280th.
No, 200th. Yeah.
That's a new one.
So a 200th
and
of 80th. The 80th shot.
Yeah.
I, we got really close. We actually got to like the final scene. And
yeah.
like you think, like, because towards the end, there's a bit where, you know, spoiler,
mm-hmm.
he shoots,
that's okay.
shoots himself.
Yeah.
And then like, at that point, it cuts like different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, there's like, all the band dancing, a Spider-Man guy. It's,
wait,
like,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Right.
And then it cuts to him in hospital. But the thing is that these were not cuts. These were not cuts. You'd be like, oh my god, how did you not cut that Hassan?
Yeah, I mean, literally, how did you?
How did we? Well, we just, it somehow worked.
It just worked.
It did itself. But like, we did a reveal, so we quickly moved the blind up, and there was a band behind the blind. And then we moved the blind up again, and there was another like shot of the band.
You moved it so fast.
We got 600 band members because we kept revealing a different screen. Like,
so you got 600 separate bands.
We got 600 separate bands, 600 separate sets.
Wow.
So this was literally, we filmed in Tenerife.
Uh-huh.
Has the largest stage. So you know how it was on a stage?
Right.
There's a stage and a stage and a stage and a stage and a stage. We kept revealing different stages.
Like a Russian doll.
Kind of. And it was really material.
See, I thought it might have been done like that, but then I thought that's just too dumb.
It was really difficult, but we did it.
Why didn't you just do it with computers?
We did it. Oh, no, listen, because this is... I said, look...
Too easy.
This is exactly... I used my artistic knowledge from my porn industry
to make it harder.
Yeah.
I
want to high five that. Yes, there we go.
Puns, baby.
Basically, we got right to the end. And then basically, Michael Keaton, God rest his soul, messed up a line.
Uh-huh.
And then we had.
Obviously, Michael Keaton isn't dead now, but when you hear this podcast, he will probably.
Well, that's his career anyway.
I ran up to him, and I gave him a nice big. I licked my palm and slapped him on the face, and I said, "You've messed up a 2-hour shot. You're a strong man,
but you're large. I do this for a living." And he was like, That's a reference from my film. That's completely wrong. You said it completely wrong. You've just slapped me in the mouth. I'm a millionaire. And what did you say back to that?
I said, I went, places, everybody. And then everyone went,
I'm the boss.
Everyone back.
Yes, sir, Hassan.
Everyone back.
Sorry, what's the director called of the film Birdman?
I can't tell you. Because I knew him by his porno name.
What's his porno name?
I can't tell you that because
it would be embarrassing.
It's embarrassing for him. See, as I said, I'm proud of it, but he's not so proud.
It's like a weird paradox.
I'm uncomfortable about even talking about any of this. I'm a bit modest about being a great cinema. I can't even say it.
You are modest.
Cinematography. Director of photography.
I can't even say that. I can't even say that.
Film dop.
Orphan.
Malnourished.
The director of he actually does have a really hard name to say, to be fair. It's Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu.
Alright.
And he directed Birdman. Iñárritu.
I think he's
Mexican.
Probably. Listen, Ben, I can feel what you're going on with here. No racist jokes.
Just leave it.
They're drug lords.
Wow.
They're drug dealers.
Sure.
They're drug smugglers.
You have me.
They're drug I'm mules.
With you.
They're drug knife holders.
Yeah.
Gun holders.
Go on to what colour they are.
Brownie.
Brown.
Ancient Aztecs raped by white people.
Wow, yeah, that happened.
Blended.
Yeah. They worshipped gold.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Okay. Pretty specific.
Walter White. Do you guys ever think about how Walter White, his name was Walter White, and his job was creating drugs, and he created the superior drugs. Hence, the white man does everything superior.
Who's Walter
including
White?
Including making drugs.
The Bryan Cranston character from Breaking Bad.
Oh. He's the main guy from Breaking Bad. Anyway, so I love Birdman.
Just as much as I love cake.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that amazing insight into the film, a 10 minute insight. Yeah, that was a quick chunk of insight.
It was
into how we made Birdman, and I don't think you actually told us how you did one shot. But I think
that's okay though.
We'll just leave it. Let's leave it for now.
Can I talk a little bit about the film?
No.
Basically,
yeah,
no, I do. Done. I do really like the film.
I'm sorry, your opinion is invalid.
You worked on the film, of course.
I did not. Okay, but
unless you didn't really work.
All joking aside.
Joking.
I worked on the film, but modestly, I don't want to be associated with the film. So that's why.
I mean, you're such a niche artist.
Well, luckily, you're so modest.
I didn't even get paid for it.
But you won an Oscar for it.
I didn't get paid for it.
Okay. You didn't even get credited for it, did you?
I didn't get credited for it. I didn't even get paid for it.
Hassan.
And I won an Oscar.
It's almost as if you won
the Oscar for it.
But I didn't get paid for
but
it.
But you didn't get paid.
Not even for the Oscar. I don't know.
You and you, if you, so let me ask you this. If you did the cinematography for this, did you also do the cinematography?
Yes.
For
yes.
The answer is yes.
For Gravity, the film you did just
Lord
before
of the
Birdman.
Mike's Five, yes.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Mike's
and
Five.
Lord of the Mike's Five.
Which is, Lord, is that the one with Chris Tucker?
That's the one with Grime Guys.
That's actually a Grime promo, yeah. It's a UK thing.
Sorry, I'm thinking of
Chris Tucker.
I'm thinking of the thing Chris Tucker does.
Sorry to all our Australian listeners.
Yeah. I apologise to them as well. Just generally.
Generally,
sorry.
Yeah, they just don't really meet the standard of Australian.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I really, when I came in here, I did want to say one thing about the film. Mm. Can we talk about, like, the film?
Birdman?
Well?
No, that's fine. We've
moving on.
We are not talking about Birdman anymore. Except for one thing. The rest of the film.
Yeah, really, go on. Please,
I
go
really
on.
Liked, I, honestly, I really liked how they, how every character in it was like broken. Mm. You know what I mean? Like every character had some sort of insecurity coming out of them. Even like Edward Norton's character, when you first, like throughout it, you're like, wow, this guy, he's so bright.
No, that's not true.
Not bright, but I mean,
no,
he's so colourful.
I mean,
colourful.
It's quite obvious from the first time you see him that there's
he's
quite
like
a lot wrong with
him. Yeah.
Like
but I'm saying. No, but he doesn't.
Tried to rape his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay,
on stage.
That's further in.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, at first, he doesn't seem like he's too insecure.
Mm.
You see all these other characters, like everyone
who's
introduced
like
to something.
Saving Grace character
comes
in at the best time.
Exactly.
Then, like, 5 minutes in, you're like, oh, wait, he's fucked up.
He's
exactly.
Yeah. I don't even think 5 minutes. I mean, he does.
No, because in the first intro, when he comes in, he's doing an improv of the play. He's doing an improv of the play with Keaton, and he's like, wow,
amazing.
You're saving our show, amazing.
Yeah,
and then just after that, he's like, oh.
But there are hints in that
there
scene.
There are,
because he's like, because he's already
sort of
directing,
weirdly bipolar.
Directing,
yeah, he's like taking
and
over.
He's like taking over completely,
getting
and you can
angry.
See that he can flip.
Mm,
mm. I think this is the. sorry. I think this is probably the best performance Edward Norton's ever given.
Done, yeah.
And I love Edward.
He's one of my favourite actors, always.
You know what's funny? Is I love Michael Keaton and Edward Norton. I actually, watching this film, started to realise I draw parallels in their careers, because both of them at one point were just about to become the greatest actor of that moment.
Mm.
They were literally en route to being like the greatest actor of that time period, and then for some reason they fizzled out.
Why do you think? Why do you think? No, not elaborate. But why do you think? Because I know I get what you're saying.
So you mean elaborate?
No. elaborate would mean explain why.
Further.
What? Yeah, but I'm saying, why do you think? What's your opinion?
So elaborate on my opinion.
No.
Just what's your opinion?
What's my opinion?
On the
I wrote it
why that happened.
But no. What's your? Why do you think that? Why do you think Edward Norton kind of?
Well, he just made. I don't know. He made Fight Club, which was great. And he made
American
History X. And American History X and Fight Club came out around the same time. And it was like, this guy is
amazing.
The fucking tits. He's going to be amazing. And then he just, I don't know if he made bad choices. He made a few, like, critically warmly received films. But he made a few average films. But that was never really showcasing his ability the way he showed it in his first two short movies, he just didn't continue
to go on like big booming banging roles.
Yeah.
Like after those two films, he went on fizzled out sort of on not being bad, not acting badly, but just not
giving
the opportunity to act
everything.
Did he do the Hulk?
He did the Hulk, which is a good revamp.
But who wants to watch
it? It wasn't a good film. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was a good remake of the Hulk, better than the original, I thought.
Yeah,
it
but also the original had only come out like 2 years earlier and was so toilet that one's like, oh, I really want to see the Hulk, you know?
Mm. I mean, I actually thought that original Hulk film was completely based on the fact that Eric Banner had the same name.
Yeah. As Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. And I thought that's literally why
they made that film. Got him in that. In
the After film. Watching it, I was like, it's too pants to be a serious Hulk.
Where is Eric Banner?
Eric Banner is another guy disappeared.
He's gone.
Mark replaced by Mark Ruffalo. They realised this guy sort of looks like Eric Banner.
Just nicer.
Let's put him in films.
Just a nicer guy.
He's a cooler guy.
He's a cooler, funnier guy.
He's just a weird.
He's kind of relaxed.
He's a nice gentleman.
He's my friend.
Yeah. Shut up. Go on. So continue with your idea,
that he made a few good films and then for some reason faded. And the same with Michael Keaton, because Michael Keaton made the first two Batman films, and they were fucking tits. Mm. And then every film I saw him afterwards, I was like, yes, Michael Keaton, I'm going to enjoy this. And then by the end of it, I was like, I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well,
I enjoyed Michael Keaton, because I always am. I'm always rooting for Michael Keaton, I find.
But don't you find that they kind of fit into the roles in the film a lot better?
Because of that idea.
Yeah, but they're so easily likable as well, mm-hmm. I find, in all films. Even when I don't like the film, I'm always like, I really like Michael Keaton already. Edward Norton especially. I always liked Edward Norton.
Is this gay?
Yes. Wait. Yeah, but go on if you have to ask.
Yes.
He makes me smile every time I see him.
Guess that's not gay, but what you said was homophobic.
Being gay, yes. I'm using the factual basis of like, if you're gay.
Like liking men, yeah.
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 But is it gay also that I bite my bottom lip
when I see him? Now we're getting into very tricky territory with lawyers. And the amount of lawsuits you've already faced.
The cream is flowing.
And that means money.
He doesn't mean ejaculate.
Alright. I think maybe we should take a nice...
Should we take a quick break? Alright, we're going to take a quick break. Join us after the break for more...
Breaks.
Podcasts.
More breaks.
Where we talk about stuff.
It's the Beggar Boy Beats. Check me out on SoundCloud one time for your mind if you don't know about that. Facebook as well. I'm also there, Fair Light Collective, you know. But you gotta type it in. So that's Beggar Boy Beats. SoundCloud.com/Beggar Boy Beats. Facebook.com/
Sampro,
thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Bangkok Radio Swayze. Beggar Boy Beats is a real thing. We didn't make that up, like 6 million ways to die. For our long-term listeners. Okay, so we spoke a lot about Birdman, but we didn't say very much
about it.
I really liked it. It's a really well done film. I was told specifically to mention the fight scene where Michael Keaton grabs Edward Norton and he's like, did you really have a drunk father? Because I had a mean dad.
He
used to beat us. And then, but at least he wasn't taking us to the shed. That was amazing.
It was really realistic as well.
It was so funny. And then he looks at him and he's like, it wasn't true. Because he's just told him he's been molested. And he's like, it also isn't true. He's just fucking mental. Man. And then they have a fight. And he's like, and Edward Norton's like, who are you going to get? Ryan Gosling? Anyway. Yeah,
just throwing his slip.
None of that made sense. None of what I just said made sense.
Yeah.
But if you've seen
the movie,
you need to be watching the
also,
film while you
do. Do you mind if I quickly just say before we continue talking about Birdman?
You love yourself.
Since the last time we recorded an episode, the president of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, died of cancer.
How long was
he? As many of you know, I live in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Many of them do know this.
Because he is the king of the Mushroom Kingdom, and he died. And he died of cancer, which is sad. Which is more sad. I just want to say that now, so that anyone listening is like, that is sad.
That is sad.
But now let's talk about fights in Birdman.
Yeah.
I like the scene where he flies, and everyone's like, he just died, right? Mm. But I think that's not him dying, because the film is like a sort of fight in his mind between movies and plays.
Yeah.
And in that scene in particular, he is Birdman, which is the movie side of his mind.
Yeah.
And in movies, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is really being highlighted. And I feel like in that scene in particular, he's like, anything's possible in movies, he can fly to work.
Yeah.
Because it is a movie.
Wait, are you talking about the final scene?
I'm talking about the scene where he runs and jumps off of the building.
And then he goes to work.
And then he flies to work. And then the taxi driver's like, hey, you're not paying me, man. That was dumb. Whatever I was just talking about. Especially the part about Nintendo, which didn't fit at all into the episode. Fucking hell, Ben. What I meant to say was, Emma Stone, doesn't she have alien eyes?
An alien nose.
I can only imagine what the listeners feel. Because I am also confused.
You made a really fucking good point,
which
Emerson alien eyes.
Alien eyes.
What was my point?
No, about
I'm a film graduate. I make up things.
Okay. No, about the conflict in his mind between
So that was that that's what I took away from the film. There's a conflict in his mind between plays and movies, and the Birdman's always like, why are you doing this play?
The last...
Oh, that's fresh.
Is that
fresh poo-poo in the studio today.
Yeah, it's literally doing it as we
speak. Oh, we're going to have to take a quick poo-poo break. Okay, so all things have to end. And as abruptly as it started, the segment on Birdman is now done. What's your final word on Birdman, Eamon?
Good.
What's your final word on Birdman?
Sexy lady. How I love you so. Sexy lady. That's it.
My final word on Birdman is that it's good. I don't need to say it's good. You already know it's good. You're listening to the show. It's about Birdman. It's very good. We have a new segment today. Returning listeners won't recognize it. New listeners will be like, "Ooh, I'm listening to the show for the first time, and they're introduced to something new. I feel like I am included.
I feel like I am included to a new show or something.
Something like that. Yeah. Not obviously, our Asian listeners are not included. You are
not anymore.
You are fully excluded. The segment is called." CKC suggests. So for people who want to know, sorry, I'm being completely confused by racism here. So this new segment where we tell you things that will make your life better.
Mm.
We made a new tune for it, and that will play right now. What did you think of that? It was a nice new tune, wasn't it?
I didn't hear anything.
Alright, so the thing that I have written down is put talcum powder in your belly button after showering because it means your belly button will be fresh for hours to come without building an awful smell.
Why aren't belly buttons so
smell? We talk about this every episode.
Yeah, we've mentioned belly buttons
so many
times.
But why are they? But why?
Because they're small. It's a small dark hole.
Yeah, but how...
That sweat...
It's just crevices. Just
but how does dirt... enter.
You know how really, really, really disgustingly fat people, when you see them in their in videos and they're like, and then the Channel 4 narrator is always like, this disgusting piece of shit that we are pretending to be sympathetic about, but really. Yeah, humiliating.
This fat cash cow.
This
stuck in its
disgusting human being who cannot leave their bed. But then, whenever they do a close up on their naked body,
yeah.
And you can't see their genitalia because of how much fat there is,
yeah.
But there is always mold
yeah.
on them. So, that moldy part of their
body
is the equivalent of a normal person's any belly button.
Belly button. Thank God it's
so imagine you being a belly button with a head, basically.
Yeah.
Thank God it's just centralized and localized
yeah.
in a.
And just face.
In
yeah,
the anus of the stomach.
Yeah. Right. Nothing comes out.
But the anus is the anus of the stomach, isn't it?
Yeah.
So put belly button, put talcum powder in your belly button, never in your mouth.
Ooh.
That's the end of the segment.
Can you put someone else's belly button in your mouth?
No.
Oh, don't put the talcum powder.
You just didn't receive that advice.
Let me get this advice.
See, this is
going to
be a problem.
Yes, please.
If the advice is too complicated.
So, I don't put belly button in my mouth.
So what you do is you slap yourself
yeah.
three times
in the mouth,
and then listen back
in the mouth with powder.
As I want to say to you is this:
Pimsleur.
I'm not going to repeat the information.
Okay,
but you can just listen back.
All right,
you can rewind. Anyone who wasn't clear on what I said, rewind.
Then go fuck yourself.
Just move on.
Virtually.
All right, so now we've got a fantastic segment for you. It's called Robot Dad. We are going to read a new script in development.
This is called a segment, yeah? So
the segment
we're going to have it every week.
The segment is called Movies. And the script we're reading
yeah, is it called Movies? And every time you say it, you have to look up to the corner of the room.
Is that what I
just
said?
That's what you just said.
You just did it
like...
Movies.
Movies.
We could keep this running as a weekly show.
So we're gonna.
You mean we could do this
Bangkok
forever.
Radio Swayze?
We do Bangkok Radio Swayze weekly.
We
apparently.
No, I meant
long-time listeners will know that we do not do this.
I meant read like what do you call it? Table readings, I guess this is of scripts. We could do this every week.
This seems like the kind of thing that people talk about behind the scenes. You are getting a behind the scenes look
like
at Bangkok Radio
like every week.
Sorry,
every week you get this.
I don't fully
Hasn't we? We're professionals.
I mean,
is this the plan out this episode segment? Like every week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do like this could be a series on Robot Dad and his adventures. Yeah.
That could be.
But fun. Robot Dad ends at the end of the script, which we will all
spoiler,
find out.
Hey, don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
We've all assigned roles. We did that during the break. To you, it seemed like but 30 seconds. But to us, it was minutes.
Radio magic.
So we will read this for you now.
1943 War Room.
Wait, can you say the title?
Sorry, it's Robot Dad.
Yeah.
Ben said that.
We're going to read the script exactly as is. 1943 War Room. It is dark. We see Winston Churchill stood next to him is his sexy assistant, Janet. She's wearing short skirt and a soft cotton blouse. Her soapy pale breasts are outlined by her glorious golden curls. A powdering of sweat creates a halo above her cleavage. The English War Minister is there too. Enter the War Minister.
Churchill! It's not looking good.
Jerry! Jerry has us outflanked, outnumbered, and outgunned.
We need something special?
If only we had a robot that was capable of vast destruction, but also capable of love.
Cut to a science lab in the middle of Area 51. It is 70 years after the end of World War II. A scientist works tirelessly to create a robot in his lab. He turns on the power. The robot's eyes light up.
Father, what is my directive?
Zeus were created by me to kill Adolf Hitler. To stop the Nazi terrible Reich, to cease the inhumanity of World War II. You were the last-ditch effort of desperate men. You were built to ensure Allied victory.
Father, you did not learn the script. Then I will kill Hitler. I will kill Nazis. This is my prime directive.
The Allies won World War II in 1945. It is 2015. Hitler is long since dead.
Then what is my prime directive?
Churchill, in his madness, insisted you were programmed with the capacity to love. So you must follow your secondary directive. Find love.
But who could love me? I am a robot.
It is true. There is no other robots for you to love, for you are the first of your kind. I shall build you a robot to love. And robot, I will always love you.
Just as he says this, scientist dies.
No! Robot, in his rage, destroys the lab. This is to show he has flaws too.
Cut to New York. Robot is looking around an apartment with an estate agent.
So what do you do?
I am a robot.
Well, that's a good job. Lots of robots in this neighborhood. They go to the robot bar on Fifth Street. Also, you can really appreciate a build of this quality in this neighborhood. It's a real up-and-comer.
I'll take it.
There's one catch. You have to live with the former owner's sassy roommate.
How sassy is he?
Very sassy.
I'll take it.
What will you do next?
I will become a father. I will become Robot Dad.
Roll credits. Music by Nine Inch Nails. In the orphanage, in the warden's office, she is a real bitch. But ultimately, she is just doing her job. She's sort of sexy in a bitch type of way, you know? Sort of a bitchy sexy type.
It has always been my dream to become a father.
I'm sorry, Robot Dad. We simply cannot allow a robot to adopt a human child. It wouldn't be right to give an unmarried robot a white child.
Without a child, I am incomplete. I am not a Robot Dad. At all. I am just Robot.
I'm sorry, Robot Dad.
This is robo-racism. If I were black or gay, you'd give me a human child. Because I am a robot, I am doomed to a lonely life of robo-lifestyle. What? I will show the world what robots are capable of.
Later in the park with sassy roommate, who is also a robot, it turns out.
sassy roommate. They rejected my offer to be a father.
That's robophobia.
I am constantly reminded of my incomplete objective to become a father, a robot dad. My creator did not program genitals in my crotch unit. I have no means to create semen, and no woman to willingly accept said semen.
Do-do-do. Robot Dad goes on an epic adventure where he faces adversity because of who he is on the inside, with the goal of making people see what he is on the inside. He gives Oscar-worthy speeches, and when Congress passes the law to give him a child, he is assassinated. Finn.
So we spent the first half talking about the best film of 2014. I think we can spend the second half talking about the best film of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Robot Dad.
Robot fucking Dad.
Who would you get to play Robot Dad?
Michael Keaton.
Ben Stiller. Let me blow your minds for a second. John Cena.
Will he rap in it?
Only one actor could play this character, and it's John Cena. Only one man that I know has won the WWF SummerSlam so consistently since The Rock retired.
Do you think they have a big enough robot suit for him?
Well, we'd build one around him.
Yeah.
I remember watching television one time and seeing John Cena in this weird soldier film.
Yeah.
Where it's like a weird sort of super soldier saving this one woman from hundreds of soldiers.
What?
For no reason. They were just in a weird, desolate village.
Fucking perfect.
Are you thinking of
under attack?
Are you thinking of Castle Wolfenstein?
No.
The computer
no,
game from
no,
the 80s.
No. It was a really shitty film with John Cena being this weird soldier. Just jumping through shacks.
He sounds perfect for Robot Dad.
He was perfect.
He understands the plight of not being able to adopt a child.
Yeah. Who would you get to play Winston Churchill, Hazza?
Winston Churchill's son.
Michael Caine.
Jimmy Churchill. Jimmy C. He's Asian, you know.
Oh, really?
Half.
So he married like a little Chinese woman?
No. He adopted him. His dad was Chinese.
He's half.
His mum was Winston Churchill's wife.
And she banged.
She banged a Chinese guy.
Okay.
His name was.
Speculation.
Mark Hamill.
Mark.
Churchill. Mark Hamill, yeah.
I thought it was Jimmy Churchill.
Well, I knew him.
But Jimmy, that was Jimmy Churchill's dad.
Oh, okay. So,
which was Winston Churchill after the adoption.
Yeah.
So, are we gonna do this? Yeah, it's happening. All right.
So we got
a guest in the studio.
Woo! Let's give him a round of applause, guys.
Sam.
It's good. Yeah, Sam.
Anyway, who would you get to play Janet?
Janet.
She
Jackson.
Sounded sexy.
Janet Jackson.
Scarlett Johansson.
In my
Scarlett
mind,
Johansson.
Janet sounded sexy.
Janet sounded sexy. She was very sassy.
She didn't have any lines. I like that.
No.
I
need him though.
I really like the detail. Like these are just basic stage directions.
Yeah.
Stage directions, but the detail of the description of her character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Flawless.
Especially the breast part of it.
Yeah, I didn't know what Robot Dad looked like. I didn't know what.
Didn't care.
Churchill looked like.
No,
I didn't know who anyone looked like.
I couldn't even tell you what Janet's face looked like, but I knew what her boobs looked like.
Bit of a halo going on.
They were nice. They
were
the kind of boobs you want to touch.
Who would you cast as Janet? Who would you cast
as
Janet?
A bigger question, who would I cast as the boobs of Janet?
Oh, okay.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson as the boobs.
Yeah.
Guess I'm going boobs. With Paul Rudd in a dress.
Paul Rudd
with
Scarlett Johansson's
boobs.
Well.
I think it's a good run up.
Yeah. Ant-Man's apparently very good.
Yeah, I know.
Very good. In the words of Jimmy Churchill.
Very good.
Very good.
We're laughing at our own jokes now.
Yeah.
Alright, let's go. What?
Sorry?
Have we got something after this?
Yes, we do. Would you like to go straight into questions, or would you like to talk about magic for a little while?
Magic. The thing about magic.
Okay, we'll do like 2 minutes on magic.
All right.
Okay, so I recently wrote an article.
Right, firstly, pick a card.
This one.
All right. Is this your card?
Yes.
Magic.
That's what I don't like about magic.
You gotta guess
what they got. I wasted my time and magic power.
Yeah, magic is a waste of time. I wrote an article. Anyone who wants to, look up an article on don'tpanic.com called Magic is Shit and It Ruined Game of Thrones. We've spoken extensively about Game of Thrones on this show before.
Yeah.
if you want to hear us, listen to basically any other episode.
Or watch a Game of Thrones episode about that. And then just...
How did they read this article, sorry?
You go to Google.
Yeah.
You type in...
Google.com or...
Yeah. You type into Google.com.
Okay.
Magic is shit and it ruined Game of Thrones.
But you don't need to
You
Google
scroll it. Down for a really long time. Yeah. No, it's not. It's the first thing. It's the number one thing that comes up.
Ah, that's good.
Because apparently I'm the only person with this opinion.
Yeah.
Especially from the comments on FaceyB. Which is what I call Facebook.
That's cool.
Hang ten, bro.
But I've got 17 likes so far.
What?
More than 16, bro.
That's one more.
Dude.
And I got 5 tweets. One of them was me.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Was one of them you? Either of you? No. So you can get
I did like it. I did like it. Hey, I'm your friend, bro. Shaquille O'Neal on Facebook posted. He said, "What's up? The new NBA series is coming."
Shaquille O'Neal can go suck.
This is literally what he said. He said, "New NBA series is coming. Can't wait." He got a 1,000 likes.
You mean season?
He got.
Not NBA series. You don't have
Dude,
series.
Word for
We're
word,
not on like the 30th series.
Argue with 7 foot.
Shaq said series. Did he say world series?
He said, "New NBA series finale final spectacular is coming. New NBA series."
Yeah.
Basically, and he said, "Can't wait." And
yeah.
He got 1,000 Facebook likes in 5 minutes.
I got 1,000 Facebook likes.
You just said you got 17.
I got 17.
A lot of lies.
I lied one time. Okay, so Magic is shit. It ruins everything that it's in. I know a lot of people who like Lord of the Rings. I'm not friends with them anymore.
Yeah. What about the Neverending Story, Ben?
That's great.
Ooh, what about that?
That's not magic, though. That's literature. That's the magic of a child's imagination.
That's true.
What about
that's
Prestige,
true.
Though? I thought that was a very good film.
Prestige was fake magic.
Yeah.
And then electricity
sort of real
at the
magic,
end.
By the way.
At the end.
It's
Prestige.
Like magic,
no,
yeah.
That's magic. Magic tricks are okay, but magic is rubbish.
But really, that's what magic is.
No.
Magic's a trick.
No. Yeah. Magic tricks, I'm fully back in. David Copperfield.
Yeah.
David Blaine.
Other guys. Penny
David
Teller. Cameron. David. David C.
Spin that magic every day, son.
Oh,
Dynamo, Chris Angel, beautiful actors.
beautiful people.
Beautiful
Woo.
People.
Attractive.
I'm talking about magic where you're like, Imgardium Leviosa.
So you're
and things
about,
just fly. And
so
you're like,
specifically Harry Potter.
I'm talking about all magic.
Okay.
All real magic. Magic, when you read it in a book, is okay. Because it's in your imagination.
But then when that book becomes a massive film seven times,
no.
It's not that great.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
Because magic belongs in your imagination.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't belong outside of your imagination. We're
what?
Not children.
Okay.
I play a lot of Mario. So, thank you.
What is magic?
Yeah.
Is in a
comic book film. I feel like
film,
our listeners are smart enough
film,
that they know that without
In a comic book film, when a comic book character does something... super extraordinary. Is that magic?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like a fucking Superman.
What does Superman do?
Superman
is the worst.
Just at the speed of light.
Superman is the worst.
He just at the speed of light.
That's not true.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He did it in my face, bro.
Oh yes. Here it comes. You got it out of him, Ben.
Here it comes. That's what I said.
That's
that's what he said.
So, I call him pre-cum super bad.
He does. So he does magic. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
So
what do you mean by that?
What
He's
is
an
magic?
Alien. He's an alien.
What is magic? Let's get to
He's
this.
He's an alien.
Magic right. is right. fake shit. That's what magic is. Like, magic is everything that's fake.
Alright,
yeah.
So
anything
Superman.
Like something fake happens, you're like, that's magic. And you're like, yeah, that's true, it is magic, because it's fake and it couldn't really happen.
What about fucking all the X-Men characters?
Yeah.
What about those guys?
You
mean those guys that had like shot magic out of their eyes,
at
or
their fucking eyeballs.
Guys that had magic that came out of their hands and stuff?
Exactly.
Because there was like guys that had all sorts of magic in that film.
What magic is that? Is that magic?
Yeah.
Is that magic for you?
They had gene magic.
Do you hate that magic?
No,
no, I like.
You just
that
hate
magic.
Like Spandora's
like
Papadominus.
Lingardium Premier. Hello, Draco Malfoy. Ooh, I don't like that magic.
Touch my wand, Malfoy.
Put my wand in your Boromir.
You know the characters really well.
Yeah.
He loves that shit.
I watch that every day.
But you said Lord of the Rings as well. They have magic.
They
do magic.
They have so much
they
magic.
They definitely have a lot of fucking magic in
there. The Rings, that's in the title of the film, is based on magic.
Magic, yeah.
Yeah.
But it, so the
I
books.
Knew, I said that
so
I wouldn't.
Tolkien books.
I said that I wouldn't. I'm going to take it back to Game of Thrones. In the last... spoiler alert for any of you who are smart enough to have not watched this piece of shit. There's a scene where the queen of the dragons is about to be killed by a load of masked cunts and no one knows who they are and it's stupid already.
Calling them cunts, calling them cunts,
Ben.
Means that you means that you have some sort of emotional attachment to the show, which means you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, you watched
that's
a lot of it to be a guy that
that's
hates
not
it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not what emotion means though, is it?
Mm.
Kind of.
That's a weird...
But you kind of, you called them cunts.
I did call
which
them
is
cunts.
Quite an emotive
But I think everyone, in the show
word.
Is a cunt.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Why did you... Okay. They're cunts.
Especially guns who wear masks.
Can we call the women...
Cunt,
so
masks,
are the women cunts in there?
No, you can't call women cunts.
But you just kind of did. You
no,
said
no,
everyone...
Cunts.
Oh, wait, let me just...
I call women Jews.
And then you call their cunts cunt.
No.
Do you look at their cunt and say
no?
That's
okay.
It. And you just go cunt
no.
to their cunt.
I go like this.
Oh god. This is
Oh my god. Sorry, Grandma. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's disgusting.
Magic.
Anyway,
Thrones.
She's
What's
there
wrong?
About to be killed. Mm-hmm. A dragon saves her. That's what I mean by magic.
Is it dragon magic?
Shit, stupid, shitty things that people use to save lives that's shitty and stupid.
So did
and
dragon,
also,
wait.
There's an idiot
yeah.
who's like, the faceless man, the many-faced god, who does not wear faces for fun. Who wears and he pulls off his face, and it's like, oh, that was dumb. That was dumb when he pulled off his face. Then he's
times.
A new man.
100 times.
And 100 times he's like, wait, I'm you! And you're like, oh! But you're not. You're like, that was dumb. Sorry.
Cool.
The many faced god can go fuck himself.
Okay.
And I don't care if I incur his wrath, because he's not real, because magic is dumb. And it's shit.
The thing, okay, so let's be a let's
magic
try,
is
try,
shit and dumb is
I'll
what we got out of this.
I'll try and be a bit
Hassan,
serious.
Do you want to stand up for magic?
Basically, your real pet peeve with this is that when there's something that can't really be explained in the show properly in any show in any
magic.
Film magic will then explain
it's
it
or it's an all clause stop get out
if you live, like if you believe magic like it dumb
if
shit
you believe in
dumb
magic,
shut up go away kind of thing you know what I mean
but isn't that
but isn't that a reason why first of all the only magic I need is the sunrise every morning
Ooh.
And Allah
wow,
sorry
really
let's edit
powerful.
That out
yeah. Evil Bark.
Stay in.
I'm gonna edit that out.
But Ben, isn't that the magic of magic? Isn't that the magic of magic?
Okay, so let's get on to some questions.
Wait,
if
Ben,
you want to read
Ben,
my
wait,
article.
Wait. Isn't that the magic of magic?
Mm.
That it's kind of like some sort of
Are
thing
you
that
talking
you can't...
about like ninja magic?
No, I love ninja magic.
All forms of ninja magic?
Yes.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's go to questions.
No, what were you going to say?
No, fuck it.
No. I insist.
No, fuck it.
Nah, fuck it.
No, fuck it.
I insist on fuck it.
Magic is shit. Anyone who disagrees with that
they're
is
dumb.
Also shit. And
they're
their breath
shit.
Smells like shit.
Yeah. Their breath smells like magic, which is shit.
Okay, so we got a lot of questions today.
Ben, I want to disagree with it. Not because I
well,
disagree.
You just said
not because I disagree with it.
Are you offended with the breath thing?
But just because of the breath
Bro,
thing.
I take it back. I take it back.
I didn't even mean it when I said
it.
I didn't even mean it. I take it back completely.
I didn't mean it.
How about this? How about this?
People
how
who take
this?
Care of their mouth,
they're completely fine.
How about
this? If they believe in magic, fuck them.
How about this?
Go on.
Choose a card.
Yes, take it.
All right.
I've chosen one.
Can I choose it this time?
Sure,
yeah, you
take
it.
Sure,
here you go. That's my card.
That's cool.
All right.
What do I do with this card?
Look at it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Put it back in.
Okay.
All right. Take another card. All right, look at that card.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm acting. Yeah,
I forgot
the
first card.
Put it in your pocket.
It was the six.
Was your card Michael Davis?
How did he fucking get it? I believe in magic. Let's get on to the questions. Let's get on to the questions. That was amazing. That was magic.
That was
I agree
magic.
With Chris Angel. Chris Angel is a magician.
Magic.
How far is far mathematically?
Okay, so we've had this sort of...
Who is from San Miguel?
85 years old, Sam Miguel is. He's one of our oldest listeners.
No, I think he was born in 1985.
Oh, really? One of our youngest listeners.
30?
We haven't got this one so right.
How far is far mathematically? Hassan, you study maths. A-level.
Well, if zero is nowhere, then I'll say one is the furthest.
That's the highest. That's the highest with probability, so I'm going to agree with him.
Mm. Hassan looks like he's thinking.
How do you use...
Far was the answer to the last
How do you use the power of now?
That what is sort from, of righteous, that from? Righteous question is that?
Tibet warrior.
Oh, okay. I'm hoping that question came directly from Tibet, because I have been hearing about a power rising
in Tibet. In Tibet, when they say the power of now, they actually mean the power of now, and the now is the dictator of China at the moment. His name is General Now.
Well, actually, it's General Chow, but they don't actually use the letter
Now Chow. It's Chow Now.
Yeah. We would call it now, but they would say Chow.
So this is really an economic question. Yeah. Spell now. He's asking... How can we use Now's power against him to save the people of Tibet?
Yeah.
And everyone knows that General Chow's power, Chow Now, his main power is tanks. He doesn't have a very strong air force.
Mm.
If you're in Tibet, go with the air force.
Yeah. But he's also susceptible to racism localized in a basement of a London flat.
Yeah. In a very small, very niche podcast.
Yeah, peanut allergy as well.
Mm.
Peanut butter chow.
How do you utilize the power now? Do it tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow. Later. Do it later.
My socks versus my chest. What?
Oh, okay. I see where he's
going. That's not even a question.
I see where he's going with this.
That's from Steve.
With that one, go to the next question.
Are xenomorphs and predators related? That is from Sammy Essiger.
Xenomorphs.
No, well, xenomorphs are the aliens from Alien.
Yeah.
Okay. And no, they're not related. Predators hunt the xenomorphs.
Xenomorphs and what related, sorry?
Predators.
No, they're not related.
They're not related. They hunt each other.
Was
they
the race and predator?
No, they don't hunt each other. Predators hunt aliens.
Predators hunt aliens. For sport.
Predators originally breeded aliens. Yeah, to hunt them for sport.
Is that true?
Yeah.
They didn't breed them for that.
No, but they farmed them to
they farmed them. They didn't
create them, but
they were invented by the guys. From by the creators.
Yeah,
we're in that fucking movie.
We have dumb faces.
And they were like, why did you create us? And they were like, because
I fell in a pebble of black stuff. And I became you. We didn't create you. We just made you by accident.
And it was funny. It's funny because Michael Fassbender's like, but why did you create us? Because he's an android.
Yeah.
And the man is like, we created you because we could. It had nothing to do with why the creators invented us. And we were like, ooh, that is foreshadowing.
Deep. Should we do an hour review of the
movie? Yeah, right now.
We could actually, not right now, but next week, let's do.
Let's do the history of predators and alien.
It's a great idea.
I've not seen all the alien stuff.
No, we're not going to do that.
I've seen them
all. We're going to do.
Scrap that.
But I like this is we're doing this thing where we
I was gonna say let's do Prometheus.
Organize the show during the show.
We do it every week, bro.
I was gonna say next week's episode could be about Prometheus.
I have not fully seen that. I know it's got Idris Elba in it.
It does. And I don't really want to watch it again.
It's got a big
I think the listeners love listening about next week's episode.
It's got a
Is Madonna gonna grow up ever?
Grow up? You mean taller? Probably not. She's reached puberty and peak physical.
So can I just quickly say, so the question written in is Madonna going to grow up ever? But the question that was meant to be written but has been crossed out to replace that.
Crossed out on Twitter.
So a question on Twitter was crossed out and replaced with, is Madonna going to grow up ever? And this is the question originally written. Sea monster, the ancient Greek, ever?
Right, is there a way to identify that particular listener and delete him before he spreads, just in case whatever he has spreads to other listeners?
We definitely
that's
have to
from
send
Banjo
that.
Window.
We've definitely
Jones.
Can brain diseases spread virtually?
Yes,
they can. Can't
yes.
they?
We got to definitely send that out to. Is it ontology, the study of language? We got to send that out. To try and decipher.
Why is
next
this
week.
So dumb?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't like that question. How do has
Madonna will never grow up.
Or old.
Do Hassan and Eamon hold hands when crossing the road?
See, well, people have asked us this before. Yeah.
We're holding hands right now.
We don't do it because we enjoy it. We do it for our listeners.
Yeah.
They enjoy it.
What is that?
They enjoy watching. So we do it for them.
I also do a cheeky smile at Eamon, not for us, but for our listeners as well.
And for himself mainly.
But and I squeeze his hand.
Do you ever lick your moustache? Hassan has a moustache right now. Do you ever lick it?
Really,
I can't.
It's a thick moustache.
When I get,
we both have a lot of facial hair right now.
When I get a bit,
do you have a lick your moustache?
When I get a bit of grease in it, I'm tempted.
Does it have like flavours of the previous meal?
I lick my moustache all the time.
It has flavours.
Can porn replace the pook?
What?
That's our next question.
Say it again.
Can this from Big
Cock
Hassan?
Oh wow, it was me.
Michaels. No, Hassan. Big Hassan Michaels.
What is the question?
Can porn replace the pook?
Yes.
Alright, no.
No.
Oh, split decision on that one. We're gonna have to move on next.
This is the next and final question of this episode. This is the last question.
Alright.
How can this episode be worth so many blood diamonds?
These questions are so fucking philosophical.
They're so layered, aren't they? Yeah. They're just like so deep, man.
Physics going on in my head.
Thank you very much for listening to Bangkok Radio Swayze. Thank you very much for listening to Bangkok Radio Swayze. To play us out, we have Joy Division playing Level Tear Us Apart. Here we go. Am I moving too hard? And I'm going round and round. Is my mind made up yet? And their heart is hounding. Oh, love will tear us apart again. Oh, love will tear us apart again. And my mind made up yet? And my ears went out of breath. And my movements were bad. And then all was right.
Thanks very much.
Whoa, that was great. That was a great show. Next week, the Wu-Tang Clan featuring Scott Johansson. Thank you very much, guys. Love you all.
All right, great show.